Okay, well, I like Christmas so much, we ought to just have it 365 days a year. Amen, children? Amen. Yeah, I bet you they would say amen. Christmas gifts, 365 days. Oh, Miss Donna says, oh, no. Oh, no. me, it's good. Good to be in God's house today. Good to be sharing, and we're turning back now to the book of Matthew, and we're taking our journey. This is kind of the last launch before we move into a major section of the life of the Lord Jesus. So as we kind of capture our thoughts along the way, we're thinking about the Lord of the harvest and the workers, or how to react when others are honored. Have you ever, did this happen in anybody's house? Did one little child look at another little child's gift and say, man, I wish I'd have got that? Did that happen? Or in somebody's house, did somebody's grandchild think all the presents under the tree were for them? I see an amen. I mean, you know, sometimes it's kind of difficult when you look at someone and they're honored for something. And maybe you didn't get honored for that. That's kind of tough. It's kind of tough to share as children. It's kind of tough to see somebody else get the pat on the back. It's kind of tough sometimes to see somebody else wins the race and you came in second or third or fourth or fifth and they get the honor, and it's kind of tough sometimes. Just dealing with life itself. But I want you to know that God has a word for you, and this word is very special today. And we're going to begin to look at how to react when others are honored. And we're going to do it through the midst of a story. And the story is found in Matthew chapter 20. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent him out into the vineyard. And when he sent out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. And again, about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did likewise. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening was come, the owner of the vineyard came and said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree to work with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do that which I wish with mine own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Looking in light of this, you kind of capture that, and you kind of got to feel the sense of the hour, because we've got a landowner, and we could make a spiritual application of this in a little bit too, but let's just take a landowner now. And over in modern day Israel, you would find that in many of the fields there were rough, some of it was kind of rocky areas, and maybe in some cases you had to move out rocks, you had to plow up ground, you had to weed out, and you had to get things ready for the vineyard. Well, that's one thing. Or it could have been at the time of the harvest. Out in the vineyard, the grapes were ready. And so therefore, he went to the marketplace and he found workers. And he said, will you work with me? Many translations would say a penny. And that's good. We'd understand that. And they said, yes, I'll go and work for a penny. And they went out. Now, beginning with Jewish time, they started 6 o'clock in the morning. So the first hour would be 6 o'clock. And then they went to 9 o'clock. And then they went to 11 o'clock. And they went all the way to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. There were some guys standing around and said, look, go work for me. And what did they do? They went out and worked. End of the time, steward came, brought forth the wages. and paid every man their wage. Now, if you would have worked out there 12 hours in the heat and received a penny, and somebody came and worked 1 hour, and they received the same wage that you received, what would you have felt? What do you think? Hey, Larry, turn these monitors down for me, okay? What would you have felt? Would you have said, man, there's something wrong with this picture? Yeah. Well, were you right in thinking that? Oh, yeah. Well, we would begin to wrestle with this. But now, wait a minute. Now, did you not agree to work for a certain wage? Did you not agree to work for, and we'll use the terminology here, a penny? When you got paid a penny, then why did you get upset and start fussing with the landowner? Well, what was the complaint? The complaint was, now look, we worked hard all day. We deserve it. Ain't you ever felt that? We deserve it. Man, listen to any commercial on TV and they'll say, we deserve it. Well, all of a sudden we see the insight right now that we're going to see there's going to be a response to a complaint because there was an agreement, there was a privilege, and there was a law. But I want you to capture some spiritual applications along this because some of you are still wondering, why did he just get paid a penny? Everybody else. If you would have put yourself in that position, is God just? Is God right? Well, let's think about this just for a minute now. Let's look at the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest says, look, it's ready. I mean, my field, the grapes are ready. The Lord of the harvest, if we think about the Lord Jesus coming and calling us many to us service, then he would be saying to us, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye to the Lord of the harvest, and he will send forth laborers. Hey, notice the Lord teaches us that. And also notice the Lord. Do you remember that he kept going back to the marketplace? That's where the workers were. He kept going back, and he kept going back, and he kept going back. Why? Because God needs all of us to work. So therefore, it's the Lord's loving and kindness that he goes back and he gets more laborers. And think also that the Lord kept asking the people to work in his field. And the message was consistent. Look, you go out and you work and I'll pay you what's right. I will do that. So the Lord paid the laborers at the end of the day. By the way, when you work for the Lord Jesus, guess what? You're going to get paid. At the end of the day, he's going to send forth his angels. And the angels are going to gather up the believers, and the believers are going to be ushered into a place called paradise, ushered into a place called heaven. And when we go there, we will receive rewards. There will be rewards for believers. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. When all of your works are going to be brought together, and they're going to be tested, some as though by fire, and those will be burned up, and the fire will test the others like gold, silver, and they will be value of great reward. And the Lord Jesus is going to reward you for the works that you did. But now, wait a minute. Let me ask you. I got to build this scenario. Right now, we're praying for some missionaries and we're working in Kids Zone. And we're sending a missionary offering to some translators who are over in Africa. And let's just say they work their whole life over in Africa translating the Word of God. And all of a sudden, they die and they go to heaven. Now, next picture I want you to see is this over here in this hospital bed right here. Here's this old guy. He's been a drunk all his life. And all of a sudden, this drunk all of his life, all of a sudden, they're on his deathbed. Somebody says, look, sir, will you please pray and receive Jesus Christ? And all of a sudden, this old drunk said, yes. And now, at the end of his life, would you say that these missionaries that we've been praying for, they're working in Africa, and this drunk, that they should receive the same reward? Think about it just for a moment. Now, I'm not talking about the individual rewards working. I'm saying basically one reward. What is that? Eternal life. Will there be any difference in that missionary that gave his whole life, received his reward, and this old drunk that on his last day gave his life to Jesus? Is that right? Is that fair? Is that just that both of them received the crown of righteousness? Yeah. Isn't it a struggle? I'm glad, Courtney, that it's not for us to decide that. But you know what? All of a sudden, the picture that the Lord Jesus gives right here is the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. All of a sudden, the gift of eternal life is offered to both. And if they receive that gift of eternal life, then they enter into a place called heaven. They receive the crown of righteousness. And by the way, there's no turkeys in heaven. Did y'all know that? Thanksgiving's out. Because you know, if you got a turkey, you got something strutting around, right? There won't be any turkeys in heaven because there's not going to be any strutting going on. Because when you enter into heaven, it's going to be people who have been called, chosen, blessed by God. Now, that's pretty neat. And the master kept going back. Now, secondly, I want you to kind of picture up one scenario before we go further. Is the kingdom work? What happened to these guys who were standing on the side? They were just waiting for somebody just to ask them. Hey, when they were rewarded, it wasn't for their skill. It wasn't for their production. It was just for their availability to go to work. Isn't that neat? All they had to do is just go to work. Not that they were highly educated, not that they were strong and mighty. They were just willingly went to work. So all of a sudden now we see something special right here. What is it God wants us to do? He wants us to make ourselves available for work. And then we need to accept the work, the privilege to go to work. I tell you what, I think we understand that more today than we ever have in our life. Any person that has a job right now, that's a privilege. I'm serious, because in my line of work right now, I've had to close down several businesses because people are just not making it. And folks, that's a struggle. That's people. That's families. That's people who are hurting. So therefore, when we think about working for the Lord Jesus, folks, we accept. We can accept. It's a privilege to work, and we need to work while there's time. That's the reason why the master kept going back to the marketplace, because of the urgency. Hey, folks, we don't have many hours on this earth. If God calls you at an early age, praise God, that means you can work your whole life for Jesus. If God calls you at a later age, then praise God, that means if you only have 1 hour to give Him that 1 hour. Because He will bless you. He will do what is right if you'll just give Him that 1 hour and trust the Lord to do what's right. Trust Him. He will offer. He will give you. And we will receive the wages with thankfulness. Now, times of the essence. People are standing on the corner waiting for people just to ask them to go to work. That's one of the things that we need to do this year, folks. People are on the corner just waiting. Please, somebody ask me. Please, somebody tell me about Jesus. Please, somebody say, I'm important enough to work in the kingdom of God. Please just let me help. Really, people are wanting to work for the Lord Jesus. And when we do this, let's perform our works with hope. And let's look forward to that end day. And let's work with the right attitude. Let's work as unto the Lord. Let's work as our job is unto the master. And let's maintain a good attitude in rejoicing with others. And let's continuing, because if we don't, this is what's going to happen. We're going to start complaining. Murmuring. Y'all know what murmur? You want me to translate murmur for you? Murmur, 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 murmur. That's in the Hebrew, okay? You want it in the Greek? Murmur, 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 murmur. Okay, it's in the same language. You want it in English? Murmur, 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 murmur. Okay, all right, we got the translation down. So now let's go on. What happens when a person, an individual, begins to complain? I'd like for us to do something. Let's have an attitude check, okay? Are you ready for an attitude check? So before we complain, let's begin by asking these questions. And the text is found in verse 13. It said, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Well, Is it right? Is it right for me to complain to the Lord, the Master? Is it right? And then he said, dost thou not agree with me for one penny? In other words, did you not have a contract? Did you not accept the job for one penny? So therefore, is it honorable for us to work for a penny? The answer would be yes. Is it honorable? Is it right? Am I to do what I agree upon and not have an unfair attitude? And then he said, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as to the first. In other words, is it responsible? Is it responsible for me just to take what I have and go? And we'll develop these more in a minute. But is it lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is it lawful? Is it right? Am I in agreement with God? Is thine evil because I am good? The question is it good? And then we understand, so the last shall be first and the first shall be last, for many may be called, but few chosen. In other words, am I kingdom focused or earthly focused? Now, what we want to do is just kind of develop some of these thoughts right here. Friend, I do no wrong. Is it right for me to give what I have to somebody else? Is it right? Is it right for your employer to honor somebody more than they honor you? Is it right for someone else to receive a gift that may be a little bit better or something that you wanted? Is it right for somebody to win an award in school where you didn't? Is it right? For the most part, we would respond with the answer, yes, it's right, because some people have more athletic ability. Some people have a greater desire. But all of a sudden, let's ask ourselves, is it right? Then, is it honorable? Is it honorable for me to maintain the contract that I had? I said I'd work for a penny. I'm going to work for a penny. And just because somebody gets paid more than what I, do I do an honorable job with God? Yes, I do. Is it responsible? Am I just supposed to receive what I have? Am I supposed to be responsible? Is it lawful? Can the employer give what the employer wants to? Is it good? Don't you want to see people get happy? Don't you want to see people rewarded? Don't you want to see people honored? We're going to develop this more in just a minute. But then the last thought I want to kind of give it is, am I kingdom focused or am I earthly focused? Am I kingdom focused or am I earthly focused? Well, how do you react when others are honored? How do you do it? I'd like to give you five biblical principles inside of this. And the reason why I'm going to give this to you in a minute is because, folks, don't you want to have peace inside? Don't you want to live a little, laugh a little, love a little? Don't you want to smile and have fun? Don't you want to go through life enjoying life and not having your gut turned out, flipped over, upside down because of? How do you do that? And we're just dealing with this principle of the first shall be last and the last shall be first. But let's begin with this. How to react when others are honored. Number one, be thankful for the opportunity to work. So therefore, if you're working in the home, if you're working at school, if you're working in the marketplace, it doesn't matter where you're working. Be thankful for the jobs that you have. In other words, am I thankful for washing dishes? Oh, I'm thankful for a wife that washes dishes. And if she ever asks me to help, I will. If she ever does. Okay. And I like that hired person that we have in the house that washes dishes. It's called dishwasher. You know what? I like it because she's loud, though. Do you ever know how loud dishwashers are? I mean, ours is right there next to the kitchen. And sometimes you'll be right there in the middle of a good movie and all of a sudden, honks, honks, honks. You know what? Things like that, they just happen. But you know what? I'm thankful for that dishwasher that's in the house. You know, I really am. And I'm thankful for a wife. And if she wants me to, I really will. Honey, I really will. Okay, just ask. Okay, just not today. All right, you know what I mean. It's all right. But be thankful. Let's be thankful for the opportunity to work. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8 says, servants, Be obedient to them that are your taskmasters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as unto the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. I like to focus on just one focus right here. It says, with good will doing service as unto the Lord and not as unto man. That'll change your attitude. It really will. When you go to work, are you thankful for your job? Are you thankful for those dirty dishes? Are you thankful for those dirty diapers? Hey, look, whatever it might be, are we thankful that God has blessed us with that? And when we accomplish those things, let's remember, we're not serving the dishes, but we are serving the Lord. And God sees every time you say thank you. And God sees every time you pat somebody on the back and you encourage them. And God sees every time you encourage somebody to be the best that they could be. Be thankful for the opportunity to work. Wherever it might be, whatever the job God has given you to do, be thankful. Number two, work is unto the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Wow. King Solomon, wisest man that ever lived, said, whatever your hands find to do, do it with everything that you've got. That'll change your attitude. That'll change your heart. That'll even get the eye of your employer when every time you give the best. If you're out there playing football, hey, give it every play. If you're playing basketball, give it every play. If you're cooking the meal, give it every play. Whatever it is, give it, leave it all on the field. That's what he wants us to do. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. And look, folks, when we do that, we don't have to worry about what somebody else receives or what you don't receive. What you do at the end of the day, you know, you lay down at night and you say, God, I gave it my best. That's what really matters. I gave it my best. Galatians 6, 4-5 said, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What? You do the best you can do. You do the best you can do. Work is unto the Lord. Number three, be content with the wages you receive. Oh me, I just heard it all over the room. Be content with the wages that you receive. Wow. When John the Baptist was baptizing, all of a sudden some soldiers came up and said, look, what should we do? And you know what he told those soldiers? He said, be content with the wages that you receive. Wow, that'll change your life. You mean I didn't get the bonus? I didn't get the raise? I didn't get the perks? No. But you know what? I'm happy because I'm thankful that wherever God placed me, he gave me the ability to do. I'm thankful because I know that I'm working unto the Lord, and I'm thankful because God is providing for my needs, whatever those needs might be. And when I'm in the workplace, I'm thankful for the wages that I've received. Number four, rejoice when others are honored. Oh man, that's the hard one, isn't it? You're going to find it in Mark chapter 12, verse 29-31, where the scripture says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And second is like this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Rejoice when others are honored. It's kind of like this. When you go out, deer hunters, what would you rather do? Would you rather see your son kill the big buck or you kill it? Yeah. You'd rather see your son kill it. I would. Which would you rather? So I can remember Gary Winkleblick and I, when we were growing up, they had this thing. We rode ponies, Shetland ponies. And I can remember going around in the circuit, you ride around and wherever your number stops, if you ride that Shetland pony and stop on a certain number, then they drew that number, then you get a cake. What do they call that, a cakewalk? Okay. We were doing a cakewalk, and all of a sudden, we were going around there, and Gear was next to me and I was riding his pony, and we stopped right there, and all of a sudden Gary's mother hollered, "Gary, did you win the prize?" Said, "No, Robert did." You know, he was more excited that I won the cake than he was. You know what? That's the way it is. When somebody else is awarded, honored, increase, we ought to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Love thy neighbor as thyself." And that way, all of a sudden you see, hey, you get a kick out of them getting kicked. I mean, you know, not kicked, but I mean, you know what I mean. You get a kick out of them being honored when you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And then number five, remember you are working for a higher authority. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as you know that ye have not been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of men, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Remember, when you're working for a higher power. That's neat, folks. And then when you're doing that, then all of a sudden you recognize that, hey, you know what? I can rejoice when somebody else, I can't. And I feel good about it. Because a person in Christ rises above the natural response of selfish interest to the honoring of others. The Lord of the harvest calls men in the field. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that wherever that there's work going on, a higher authority, namely God, we love in Jesus Christ, this higher authority will help us keep a balanced and peace in life. When we work in any form, is raised the awareness that we are working ultimately for Christ, then our productivity and fulfillment will increase. Time will be of the essence. Working will be a privilege. Willingness to work is in the stage of the door of opportunity. And maintaining a right attitude in the work will help us to step up things. A natural tendency to complain when others are honored above us must be countered with an attitude check. Is it right? Is it honorable? Is it responsible? Is it lawful? Is it good? Am I focused on heaven or am I focused on earth? And a good reaction to people being honored will come when we are thankful for the work that we have been chosen to do. And our reaction for working for the Lord rather than man places energy and thoughts in another sphere, and contentment carries with it great worth. It places in position to rejoice when others are honored as though we were receiving the honor ourselves. The thought of who we are really working for transcends selfishness because we are working for a greater cause. God judges our work. Our faith and our hope is in God. Hey, let's get happy. Next time you see somebody else get a pat on the back, pat them too. You'll feel better. Next time old personal selfishness creeps in, say, "Nah, I'm working for somebody higher than you. I'm working for the Lord." Let's do that, okay? Because we're going to find great peace. We'll find great joy. It's a struggle. It's a battle. It's kind of like this past week I went in and into one of the service stations where I was convenience stores, and I was talking to a Muslim friend and I'll share with him about Jesus. And he says, and I told him, I said that Jesus died on the cross. And he rose on the third day. And my friend ran around the counter and he said, no, Robert. No, you don't understand. Jesus didn't die. He just went up. And I said to him, I said, "You know, if Jesus didn't die, my faith is in vain." It really is. If Jesus didn't die, my faith is in vain. But Jesus did die. And the good news is, he rose on the third day. And folks, that's the reason why we can go around and we can be happy. We can have a reason. Because we're not serving a dead master. We're serving a living Lord. And the living Lord's going out on the corners and saying, would you go to work for me? Would you go to work for me? Would you go to work for me? And when we say yes, 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 at the end of the day, he'll call his angels out and say, go get them, boys. Bring them home. That's reward. Oh, isn't that neat? We serve a risen Savior. Let's pray. Father, our hope is in God. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope, Lord, transcends many of these fleshly things that just want to tie us down and want to give us fits. But Lord, when we begin and understand how much you love us, and when we understand that many are called, but only few are chosen, Lord, we get excited about your calling. Father, I pray for those who are here today that they'll go to work. They'll go to work, Lord, in your harvest, in your field. Wherever you send them, Lord, whatever territory, wherever job, whatever position, whatever place, they'll work for you. And Lord, we know it's going to be worth it. Father, if there's one here that's not giving their life to Jesus, I pray that right now they'll say, yes, Jesus, I want you. If there's one struggling with these other issues, Lord, I just pray, God, give them through your Holy Spirit a new awareness. Give them freedom. Let them rejoice. Father, it's in your name that we face a new year. We're thankful for 2009, but we're so excited about 2010. God, may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have an invitation this morning. The invitation is to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the second part of this invitation is, in your heart, dedicate your life to say, in 2010, I'm going to work. I'm going to work. Now, wherever that work might be, wherever God wants it to be. In the home, in sports, in the family, whatever it is. Make up your mind. I'm going to work for Jesus in 2010. This is the year of the Lord. He's calling many of you out. Some of you, he wants you to be full-time Christian service. Some of you, he wants to rise and send you as missionaries all over the world. Some of you, he wants to build a fantastic Sunday school. Some of you, he wants to build a fantastic choir. Some of you, well, a fantastic angel food. Wherever it might be, God says 2010, that's the year. Will you go to work for me? If you do, I'll pay you at the end of the day. And I'll pay you with trying. Let's stand together as people make decisions.